Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another segment of Ministry Along the Way Radio. Glad to be with you again on another Tuesday. My name is Demetria.
And
I'm here, well, not technically here with you, but here's Tanyelle.
Hello, Demetria. Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say I'm here with Tanyelle. I was like, wait a minute.
But
not
you're not
quite
there
the
case
with me. But we are together again, to be sure.
Yes.
Another Tuesday. We are so glad that you're joining us again tonight. It's been an eventful day, just let me tell you. School really is back in session. It really is back in session. I say that for those of you who don't know, I work at a local community college, and the first day of school was this past Saturday, so we are off and running, and it's lively. Let me say it that way. It's very lively. It falls right in line with our topic, right? Back to school again?
Yes, it does. It has been very eventful. Our listeners, I think they're coming to know us a little bit more now, the faithful listeners. Demetria is the parent. I'm not, but she has adult kids. But I have these nieces that I really love, and one in particular who's with me a lot. She started school, and it feels like I've started school all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, just helping my sister out a little bit with getting her to and from school. And it's been very busy.
Yes, I can just about imagine. Tonight's topic, once again, back to school. We do have some listeners on our switchboard. Welcome. If those of you who are listening by computer want to call in and chat with us, you can dial 347-637-3604. Press the number 1, and I'll know that you want to chit-chat with us. But welcome once again. Let's get this conversation started. We are revisiting the same topic from last Tuesday. This week, we are honored to have a special guest with us. I'm going to be adding her on. Tanya, before I jump in with that, I'm sorry, you want to say a little more before we go on?
No, you keep it rolling. I'm loving it. Go ahead.
Okay. And the reason I want to jump right in is because our special guest is a principal of a local elementary school, and I know she's busy, 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 so I don't want to tie her up longer than we need to. So I am welcoming to the show right now, welcome to Ministry Along the Way, to Tara Averett Harrison. She is the principal, a first-year principal,
yes,
of Vanilla A. Stateville Elementary School in Harvey, Louisiana. Welcome to the show, Tara.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that you agreed to do this. I know how busy you are, especially for a first and a second week of school.
Yes.
Thank you.
Crazy
we really appreciate you. We do.
Thank you.
So this is your first year being a principal. How do you feel about that?
I am super excited, super thrilled, just excited about this new opportunity to serve the Harvey community and our St. Bill Scholars in a major way in a principal leadership role. So I'm excited, and the community is excited. I have a lot of support. It's a reopening school.
Yes,
you
do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so they're excited about the reopening of the school. We're all excited. Our staff is excited. Our kids are wonderful. Parents are wonderful. So it's just been an exciting time and also a crazy beginning of the school year as well. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And you are so right. You have a lot of support and deserve it. So I am so thrilled for you. Just to say a little bit, I know Tara personally. I remember when she was a little girl and I was a teenager, you know,
yes.
And this has been quite a journey. So
yes.
I'm very happy for you. Not only Tara, an elementary school principal, she's also a mom. Her plate
yes.
is very full. Okay, she's a mom, she's a wife, not just a wife, she's a pastor's wife.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot on your plate. How are you managing
a lot on
all
my plate.
Of this?
It's been sort of crazy. But I was listening to Bishop Jakes the other day on his TV broadcast, and one of the things he said, when God chooses to use someone, it's normally someone that's already very busy. And old quote or adage that my family member told me is, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person to do it. So it's been crazy, but at the same time, a huge blessing. And with blessings and leadership roles, it comes with huge responsibility. So trying to balance
yes.
the two, balance all of these roles that sometimes women often wear, has been a challenge, but also a huge blessing in itself. So I'm grateful. And some days are crazy, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then other days... I'm like, okay, all the stars seem to align. So it's been a crazy journey, but also a very adventurous journey, as well as a huge blessing. And I feel as if when you know your why, your purpose, your calling, it makes it
yes.
10 times better. Yes.
Amen. Tell
yes.
us a little bit about your journey to this point. Did you start off as a teacher in the classroom? How did you get to this point?
Yes. So when I attended LSU, I was kind of hesitant about going into education. Just always in my heart, and you know, family members would often say you're just a teacher at heart. And I remember you as a little girl, you know, lining up your siblings and lining up your cousins, playing school. So it was always in my heart, but it was never attractive. The field of education was never really attractive, but. So I got to LSU, and I changed my major four times, and I ended up going home and working at our summer camp, teaching at a summer camp at our church, and then becoming the director at that summer camp. And I really enjoyed what I was doing, I didn't have to think much about it. I knew it was like an innate ability to kind of teach and work with young people, and it felt like that's what I was supposed to be doing. So I eventually went into education, and I started my first job at Liberty Middle School in Jefferson Parish, teaching 7th grade reading, and I taught in the classroom, and I went from 8th grade reading English to all the year of math, so I was in the classroom, and went on to become a master teacher at Worley Middle School, where I kind of supported and coached teachers, and then an assistant principal at Woodmere Elementary School, all in Jefferson Parish, and an academic dean at Tarrytown, and now the principal
wow.
at St. Bill. Yes. Yes.
Wow. I heard you mention that's a lot. I heard you
yes,
mention Terry
I know.
Towns. Yeah,
uh-huh.
yeah. No, but that's great. It sounds like God was preparing you for this actual role, Tara. This is Tanya. If I can just jump in, I heard
yes.
you mention Terry Towns.
And my niece actually just transitioned from Tarrytown. She was there for kindergarten to second grade. And I'm going to miss that school. I was hoping that she could have stayed there, but they went through, I guess they had to divide some of the students
yes.
up, so she's having to go to Gretna Park. But
wow,
so far,
wow.
so good. Yeah,
good.
So far, so
glad
good.
Glad to
though.
Hear that. Yeah, so I was definitely a Tarrytown guy. I was definitely ordering my steps, and when I was in the classroom, sort of very hesitant about change and, you know, just very scared about change. And then once I became a master teacher and once, you know, as you grow, as you're in your 20s, you try to figure everything out and you try to control everything. And then you have to go through life lessons and God kind of teaches you and humbles you that he's always in control and some things you can't control. So I learned to let go of God, wherever you would have me, that's where I'm going to be. So from year to year, God, whatever you would have me to do, whatever you design me to do at this season in my life, I'm ready for it. So definitely all those steps at Tarrytown, loved it there. But because of district boundary changes, it was a large school, cutting that school in half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I definitely believe God orders our steps and every walk of our lives and what we choose to do. And I've learned to let go of that sort of need to control and put it in God's hand. God, whatever you have, whatever position you would have me to serve in, to do your work, I'm game. So, yeah.
That's
you
absolutely
know
wonderful.
I'm still trying to learn how to let go of some of that control, so I might need to pick your brain a little bit.
Yeah,
I know what that's like.
I'm still learning as well. Sometimes God gives us no choice. He forces us out of where he forces us sometimes. Where he wants us to be, like, so the situation at Tarrytown when I became academic dean, I didn't know at the end of the school year that they would redo the boundaries here in JP to kind of cut down. Tarrytown was a large school. I believe we had like
okay.
950 students. Yeah, so I had no idea that I was walking into a situation in which the next year I would once again have to put my faith in God. And sometimes when he leaves us with no choice, that's all we can do is put our faith in him.
He put you in that spot. I may have seen you at some point because I would volunteer a lot at Tarrytown. So it sounds like you were a part of that transition. So I tell you one thing, you've certainly encouraged me just listening to you and
aww.
How you decided to go into education. Dimitri and I had a conversation a little bit last week off air and just sharing some mm-hmm. personal thoughts that I had with her, just career changes and deciding what do you want to do. And just to hear you say how you, you know, came, I don't want to say fell into teaching because I don't believe
yes.
you fall in, you know, fall into anything. The steps were absolutely ordered, but that it just came natural to you.
Right.
It came.
Yeah.
It was in your heart. It wasn't something you strived after. However, but once you gave it a chance, you actually thrived in it. You know.
Well,
so
thank you.
You have definitely, even this short little period of time that we've been on the air, you have encouraged me too. Now,
yes.
I don't know. I don't know if it's personality, whatever it is. It's effective and it's going across the airwaves. Okay, sometimes a little says a lot. It really does.
Yeah.
Before we came on the air, Tara and I talked briefly on the telephone. She says, "I have the kids. You might hear some background noise." I said, "Good." To me, it's reality. It's where
yes.
it's very authentic. And like I said,
yes.
she's a mom. My district principal, she's a mom. So, I don't mind. I want to hear that.
Okay,
yeah.
good. Because I have my daughter here
we,
now asking me about homework. But that's my life. That is my life, and I'm okay with that.
No, it's all good. And we also say for us doing this show that we want flexibility. We definitely don't want it to be burdensome. So, yeah, we have at it, you know. But I can say since we're talking about back to school, and Demetria, you mentioned on the last show about even as adults that sometimes we're, even adults are going back, not just the little ones, right? And they're
yeah.
preparing to return back to school. And oftentimes you're just trying to refocus, you know, possibly wanting to make career changes and just wondering, well, okay, so what's my purpose? Where do I go? How do I get this thing jump started? And so you, personality, yes, off the charts, but you just said so much. And that, aww. I mean, in your talking about your journey, and I just hope that people who are listening who may be considering going back and getting additional education or trying to figure out what do I do, I'm one of them, that, you know, you and making certain that what I did decide is, you know, the proper way to go, I should say, you know, just listen, following your heart, because that's what I heard, you know. That it was always in your heart, but you just didn't give it that chance. But once you did, I mean, wow. You're the principal, yes. Principal Harris.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Tell
still us getting adjusted to that title, but thank you.
I'm sure you are, right?
Yes.
Tell us about this philosophy that you have that college and career readiness begins in kindergarten.
Mm. So like I mentioned before, I was an eighth grade teacher, and when I would get an eighth grader that was 15, 16 years old and that was reading on a second or third grade level, I was so furious on the inside because I realized as an adult that that limits their choices, that limits their opportunities, that limits their world, and that it is so much easier to get a first or second grader who's not reading on grade level to quickly read on grade level than it is an eighth grader who is years and years behind. So I often grappled with the idea of how did I get a seventh and eighth grader that just cannot read? Like, how does this happen? Like, what is going on? And so coming from middle school into elementary school, I realized there was a sense of urgency that elementary teachers must have. I think elementary teachers have a huge responsibility and very special. It takes a very special type of person to teach little ones and teach them how to read. And I realized that sense of urgency that I had because of the passion that I had for our eighth graders, loved middle school as well, loved the relationship that I was able to form with my middle school scholars. But once I realized that some of them, they were limited to two choices. I send them to ninth grade at 17 years old, and they're going to eventually drop out. Or I do some intense tutoring and hopefully get them caught up at least two or three grade levels enough to experience a bit of success, a bit of growth, to give them that hope that they need to continue their on their educational trajectory. So when I came to elementary school, it just ignited like a passion inside of me, like, this is our responsibility, like, to teach. When parents put their kids off the bus, they get them out of it, they send them to us to educate, and it begins in kindergarten. We have to teach them how to read. We're doing a disservice to them when we don't do our jobs. So, like, it just ignited a whole new passion in elementary school to make sure that I help support teachers, and I'm also instrumental in being part of that change that occurs, that reading is key to unlocking the door. So when they go to eighth grade and they go to seventh grade, but they're reading on grade level, the world just opens up when they can read. So college, I really do feel like college and career readiness begins in kindergarten, and really been talking to my pre-K and my K teams about what that actually looks like, what does that actually mean for each child leaving next grade ready. So we always talk about next grade ready and college and career ready. What does that mean? We have to prepare them for the next grade. The next grade means they have to leave reading. So we've been having fun doing it, but also some serious conversation and some hard work goes with that foundation.
Right. I tell you what, I hear the conviction in your voice. When you're talking about this, I hear it there. So that observation that you had, I think that it's awesome that it caught your attention and you knew you had to do something about it to bring about something better. And it sounds like you're saying this is the foundation that must be laid. We must start with this foundation because it's going to be built on, and it needs to be a strong foundation, not a weak one.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Totally right. Thank you. Totally right.
Well, they're definitely are blessed to have you at that school, and it sounds like you know, you're going at it as in a team approach. You're seeing your teachers as partners. You know, I just I heard a lot of that as you were just explaining that. And so we're going to continue to pray for you that you guys have success. You know, in your new school year. Yeah, it's that's awesome.
Yes.
It really is.
Lift us
if,
up.
If, lift us up. If I will, and I know Demetria will as well. She knows you. If I can just kind of shift a little bit, yeah, with the question, the new legislation that we have now, the new law with same-sex marriage. I know some folks. I know me had it was a concern initially, until God had to calm me down and say, hold up, mm-hmm. you know. And so I overheard a parent, and I know sometimes a grandparent, as a matter of fact, state that there was an option that a parent can check off an option. I don't know what this, if it came in a form of a letter or whatnot, that you can opt your kid out of learning anything that dealt with same sex. And, again, I know people will create conversations. So I just wanted to ask you, is that a big issue? Has it been addressed? And, you know, and I'll stop there and let you pick up.
No, so I haven't encountered specifically that issue as of yet. I think our teachers, we have an awesome staff. I think they have the professionalism and the savvy to know things that need to be taught at home and the place for where things need to be taught at home. We're really, I hadn't gotten much parent feedback as well of any issues regarding same sex and teaching our children. Or I remember reading an article where a teacher decided to use a book and use that book as a way to teach kids that that was with a same-sex couple and the controversy surrounding that move. But many of my teachers right now, for the first 2 weeks, we've really been focusing on school-wide procedures, expectations, things in that nature, getting in some content, but definitely testing children to see what their reading levels are and all sorts of things to see where we start. By us being a reopening school, us just getting to know our children, where they're at and what types of interventions or whatever we need to put in place, how can we push them to be even better, and how can we push those ones that are far behind, what interventions can we provide them to make sure that they're where they need to be. So a lot of what we've been doing regarding professional development is making sure our teachers understand school-wide procedures, things, logistics, things that they need to know to operate and to be able to teach. So we haven't really encountered that issue as of yet. Like I said before, our teachers, and I am a strong believer that I'm in a servant leadership role, and a great leader always makes other great leaders. So definitely a team effort, and in those team efforts, in those professional learning communities, in those professional development meetings, just all being on the same page with what we need to do as educators and what we need to leave for families and other people to decide. So so we haven't encountered that issue, and I don't think we will encounter that issue. We're all into what kids need to know, how do we need to get them there, and issues that we don't need to touch or we don't need to tackle because it's not for us to touch or tackle. We reach out to additional sources, or we just don't touch it at all, and we leave it for families and communities and the proper place. So we know how to put things in their proper place.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on last week's show, that's when we first started this conversation, we just tossed out some questions, and we kind of, between the two of us, just kind of gave our thoughts. So I'm so glad that you're here. We may repeat some of the same questions. We just want to get some insight from an insider.
Yes.
On the other side of the table, things that might help, that will help the school year go better, you know.
Sure.
So I'm going to start out with a question. My first one is, how would you advise a parent who says, "My child just doesn't like her teacher"? What's, you know, I don't know what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
I think her teacher might have a problem with her. As a matter of fact, what advice would you have for that parent?
So I've encountered that often in my educational career. Not even, I mean, as a classroom teacher, I've gotten told that my daughter thinks you don't like her. So first thing I would say to that parent, it's all about building relationships and keeping the lines of communication open. Sometimes as teachers, you're dealing with not only one child, you're dealing with 25 children in the classroom, and sometimes a child needs a personalized touch just to let them know you care a little bit more. They need that individualized attention, and sometimes when you don't give them that, they can feel sort of slighted and may misjudge what a teacher's actions really mean. So sometimes it's all about communicating those concerns to those teachers. Like, keeping the lines of communication open between teacher and parent is one thing I would definitely suggest, because in most situations that's not the case. In most situations, our teachers get extremely busy, and it's misperceived by a child, possibly.
Yes, I'm sure.
And so I would definitely say, being a classroom teacher, you're juggling so much. I mean, you're teaching, you got a child with a bloody nose, you may have a child that has a stomach ache, you may have a child that needs, you know, like, there's so many things that you're juggling that sometimes a child that really needs you to reach out a little bit further doesn't get that, and they can mistake that as you don't like them or something to that effect. And most times that's not the case at all. And once you make a teacher aware, in most situations, very good teachers, they take that personally. So I would take it personally if a child was in my classroom and didn't feel welcomed or warmed or cared for or by me. So just keeping those lines of communication open.
Sounds good. Parents listening in the listening audience, just communicate with that teacher your feelings, your child's feelings, and kind of get to the bottom of it. Don't just run off and say, yeah, I know she doesn't like my child. Put a little investigation and have a conversation with the teacher.
Yeah, sometimes it's just it really sometimes truly is a misunderstanding. I have some very seasoned teachers with firm personalities and firm structures, and they're like that because they want kids to know as much as possible, and they want to fill those brains with all the knowledge they can possibly can. And sometimes with a younger child, that can be mistaken as that teacher doesn't care about me or doesn't like me. But once you understand that teacher and you understand their goal, I believe we all have the same goal. Most of us parents send their children to us to educate them, care for them, love for them, keep them safe. And teachers, for the most part, have that same goal in mind. I know the teachers at BA St. Phil have that same passion and that same heart in mind. And we talked about how, you know, like, we're only as strong as the weakest person on our team. We talked about all team culture and building those teams to make sure that we were all on the same page. So sometimes with teachers that are firm and come across very hard, but not necessarily hard, it's because they care so much and they wanna give them everything that they've got, and they wanna make sure that they leave their class knowing and ready. And so keeping the lines of communication open with that teacher to understand what could have a small situation that may have left that child feeling that way, and clearing the air. So first, keeping the lines of communication open with that teacher. And most times it can be resolved.
And the communication is key, because, again, there's a partnership. You actually split the day that the child is with the school and also with the parents. When you really think about it, I mean, your child is at school the majority of the day, and you're getting your kid in the evening. So, yes, you have to communicate with your teacher and look at your teacher as a partner, basically in the rearing of your child. So my hat goes off to any educator. I have a couple of educators in the family, long-term educators, who have retired and going back. So they have a love for what they do. So hat goes off to you guys.
Thank you.
Since you've already taught, so now you can take off your principal hat and just going back to your teacher's hat. How have you seen the kids adapting to the Common Core curriculum? We always hear about Common Core, and a lot. If that's the new curriculum, you try to teach a child in that manner, having my niece and being with her a good bit and just, you know, teaching her what the curriculum asked for. But have you seen that kids are starting to adapt to the curriculum a little bit more?
Yes, definitely good. Yes. I think teachers' mindset around what kids know and should be able to do and preparing them for college and career is definitely definitely from the Common Core standards, like leveling the playing field for minority children that underserve us in our communities, so that they can compete with some of the top students in other states, and making sure that we're all on the same page with that. So I've definitely seen our teachers. The reason for Common Core standards, I think, really the why behind it, really teachers really could embrace the concept of all these states coming together saying, hey, we want a kid from Louisiana to be at the same spot or be able to compete for an Ivy League school like a kid in D.C. or Massachusetts. So we want to make sure that our kids are knowing what they're supposed to know, and just really embracing complex text and being able to read some of the to be able to read text on grade level and text above grade level and really dive into that. Sometimes I don't understand it as a parent when my child comes home and gives me a Eureka math problem. There's five different ways to solve it, add the problem, and sometimes she's like, "This is a number bind." I'm like, "I'm lost." Because it's not the way that I learned how to do it. So sometimes she's teaching me, and I think parents have to be comfortable and teachers have to be comfortable with just learning the why behind it, like kids really knowing, really understanding, like, why this equals this and why we do it this way. And we just did it. I mean, we did it rote memorization, and we did it because the teacher said do it. And sometimes we couldn't really explain why this math problem, why we got this product, or we couldn't really verbalize how we got this product, or write how we got this product, or write how we got the sum. But really, them really understanding how that happens, I think it's great. I think it's awesome, and I think teachers learning how to teach it that way and teaching themselves and just being like reflective practitioners, and as we teach our children to have a core value of a love of learning and always continuing to grow, I think teachers are also the same way, where we have to have that love of learning to continue to grow.
Good. Mm. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and you are right. We were taught memorization. I remember us going over, I think it was first grade edition with my niece, and I kind of stood back a little bit because we were doing some problems on a whiteboard at the house, and I said, wait a minute, grouping. It was the grouping, right? And I said, this is multiplication. And I said, this is multiplication. And then so we just started, you know, early on just, you know, doing a little multiplication, not too much, but just a little bit, just to see if she could pick up on it. And I didn't realize that. And you know, so you're absolutely right. We were not taught so much the why. And and that's what I do notice with Common Core. So thanks for explaining that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no problem.
Before we go to our next question, I just want to acknowledge the people that are on the switchboard. If you want to add your voice to the conversation, make a comment, ask a question, go ahead and press the number one, and I'll add you in. Do you have another question, Tanyelle, while we're waiting for our brave callers to press the number one?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, this is one that I asked last week, and it was about homework help. I was just curious, as an educator, do you prefer that child, when it comes to homework and projects in particular, child goes home, do you prefer them to do their own work and come back with some wrong answers or get that help from mom or dad or, you know, extended family member and come back with everything correct?
I would definitely prefer the child to, a good teacher would use that data to align their instruction to make sure, or readjust their instruction to make sure kids actually know. So when parents sort of do children's homework and do the majority of it, it doesn't give the teacher a good picture of conceptions that that child may have. It doesn't give them a real good picture. So definitely, I was a parent who definitely, when my child came home on a project, and she comes home with projects all the time, I like to do it myself because I want it to look a certain way. And she would get very frustrated with me when I want to.
Right?
Yes, you can tell the difference. Yes, I'm like, that doesn't look right.
But they enjoy, you know, to have an ownership in their work as well. So sometimes I've learned to, like, step back from that as well. When she came home with the 9 planets and I wanted to, you know, help her paint it and spray paint it. And she was like, no, this is not my project. This is my project. So sometimes as a parent you have to learn to step back and make sure that, you know, that they're actually invested in the work as well. So they can take pride in it, ownership in it, and they can learn too. And sometimes that's hard for a parent because you want your children to succeed and be accurate and you want them to get everything right. But sometimes teachers learn so much when they make a mistake. It's such a teachable moment for that teacher. So it provides them with some really good data.
Now, when I posed that question last week, Tanyel brought up and I'm going to say it, Tanya, I might screw up exactly what you said.
Go ahead.
The helping of it, like you do want the parents to be involved in the education process. So just, you know, how far should they go?
How far should they go was the question?
Well, Tanya,
right, because
that
Right. So the add-on to Demetria's question or concern was that, again, this is a partnership. So thinking was if when parent is sitting down doing homework with the child, if the parent is going over the method with the child to arrive at the answer, let's just go back to math. I'm a big math. And so I thought that, you know, instead of turning in all the math problems wrong, and if that parent is actually going over the method, not actually doing the work for him or her, then I thought that was okay. And I guess that's what she's asking, like, how far do you go
process? I definitely think you're right with that. I can definitely agree with that. Like you acting more as a facilitator with your child, more so than giving them the answer. So one thing I would suggest to parents, like you want to provide them with the correct method. You want to make sure, like if they're totally lost, you don't want to just leave them totally lost. At the same time, checking to make sure their thought process. So asking them, so why did you write this? So what were you thinking? Like more so of a facilitator and a coach with your child, coaching them through so they can then verbalize and start thinking about why did I choose this answer? How did I arrive at this answer? If they're reading a piece of text that's complicated, questioning their comprehension along the way. So what part of this text led you to believe that this was the correct answer for this vocabulary word? What context clues led you? So acting more as like a teacher would in a classroom, more as a facilitator, I don't see anything wrong with that, like questioning their methods and their thought process, not necessarily giving them the right answer, but questioning and making sure their thinking is on the right track. So not necessarily teaching children what to think, teaching children how to think. So I think that's so nothing's wrong with that at all. We definitely want to teach our children that.
And especially again, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We have a caller who wants to chat with us, so I'm going to make you live. Hello. Go ahead and tell us your name.
Hi, my name is Heather, and I just have one question. Well, two. What do you do with a child that I work in a daycare center, and I work with, they're basically 1 year old. What do you do with a child that doesn't bring supplies at all? But they don't bring supplies, but they can bring, like, cupcakes and ice cream for his party. It's crazy.
This is a frustration, I think.
And it just happened last week. And it's like, you can bring cupcakes and ice cream, but you can't bring his supplies? Really? And we ask, well, the center I'm at, they ask for supplies every month. And the parents know this.
What age did you say?
1 year old.
This is at the daycare.
More on the parent. This sounds more on the parent and the responsibility of the child.
Right.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yes, and we do experience parents that not necessarily don't care, but don't really know how. And I think all of us at some point have reached where you ask for school supplies or you ask for certain materials, and then it's all about priorities and making sure that parents understand, like, this is also just as important as birthdays and, you know, and
yeah.
those holidays in which we bring snacks or we bring, you know, cupcakes and things like that. So I think it's definitely a matter of priority. I've learned in my time in education, to kind of worry about the things that I can control. And that's one of the things. And I think I just posted something on Facebook that say, if, like, why don't we make prisons use box top funds and Target money to raise funds for school and fully funding schools and daycares. And I believe it definitely starts with daycare and preschool and early education. But definitely sometimes parents don't necessarily understand the priority or the sense of urgency, mm-hmm. what it takes to actually get the job done and making sure that we communicate that. And I think that's a problem everywhere. You know, I don't think that's just that type. You know, I think it's everywhere.
I'm actually very glad. Did you have? I'm going to tell you why. But did you have a second question before I go there?
Yes. Okay. If you have a parent with our parents, they always leave out happy. Like every evening, they're happy. But the next day, the directors are coming to us. Well, so and so had a complaint yesterday, and I'm thinking, well, they weren't complaining yesterday. So my theory on that is you can't go to McDonald's and say, oh, I forgot my burger yesterday. Can you make me a burger? You know, they complain. They don't complain the day before, but the next morning they come and complain about something that happened yesterday. You can't go to McDonald's or Popeye's and say, I need my ticket. I'm missing a thigh or a leg. You know?
Mm-hmm. Heather, you had a rough day yesterday, didn't you? You had a rough day.
Not
sounds like you had a rough day.
Not in the past. In the past, yes. No, it's been going pretty good so far.
Good.
Well, Principal Harris, what would you have to say to that? Because two of the questions that Heather raised, you know, as I'm listening to Heather, because those are serious concerns that sometimes school systems may have, and also teachers with that supply list. And I'm just thinking of sometimes moms, dad, or I'm just going to throw out mom, you know, it's easier to purchase food because of food stamps, and it may be difficult to purchase the supplies. And I'm just saying, I'm not saying this is for everybody.
Yeah, totally.
So that communication is very important. Again, I think, and I'm going to let you know, I want you to respond too, but I just think the communication of explaining to the parent how important it is to purchase those supplies is important. And you know, so Heather, you raised some really good questions. And then the thing about the next day complaining, a lot of times kids are getting home and they're getting settled, and they may then start to tell mom or dad what happened, you know, once they get home.
Yes.
But they don't do it immediately when they get in the car. And so then mom or dad is, you know, complaining. But that goes along the lines of communicating again. You know, parents should not be irate, I don't think. You know, I don't think they shouldn't be, especially, you know, talking to another adult. And, you know, that communication is important. This is a partnership. So,
yes.
And go ahead, Principal Harris.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think it is a partnership, and I definitely think sometimes being in education for so long, sometimes you only hear from parents when something is wrong. And especially as a classroom teacher, you don't hear, you get what went wrong. And sometimes you don't always get what is going well, or you don't hear from those parents who are really pleased with what's going on. And like you said, sometimes it is a matter of a child maybe, you know, getting home and saying, I think such and such, you know, it can go back to my teacher doesn't like me, and then the parent next day, oh, your teacher don't like you, well, what happened? And then that can lead to a next day complaint. So sometimes, like you said, I think it's a matter of, and I'm no expert, and I'm also learning still as a principal, sometimes is how can I get my parents invested before, you know, before it's a, because parents sometimes they do have solid complaints that can be backed up by facts. But how can I not only hear what they're not what they're not pleased with, how can I get them invested into making our school better? So I really do think, mm-hmm. and I think it's a tough challenge for any principal, any school, any daycare center, how can I get parents invested in what I'm doing to develop a strong partnership, not only so, you know, we can sit across the table from each other, we can sit next to each other to discuss how we can make things better for them, but also, like, how can we sit down and discuss how to make it better before there's a problem. So developing that partnership with parents and families is extremely hard, especially with working parents. It's not just a matter of a single parent or, you know, a parent from a low income. It's just not a matter of that. And my husband and I are both extremely busy and sometimes don't have time to, you know, always do all the things that they ask us to do at our children or at my daughter's school. So sometimes, like, how do we get parents here invested in helping us build a healthy, strong school for our children? I think that's tough. And like I said, I'm no expert. I'm still learning that myself. Because right now, as a reopening school, we've definitely hit some small bumps in the road. But as a parent, definitely some bumps. And I'm definitely getting some of those complaints on the back end, but before I only want to hear, before as a leader and as a teacher, you don't only want to hear, you know, like this went wrong. So we're inviting them like to a parent teacher club meeting that we're having Thursday. And we've offered them two opportunities, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, like just to discuss like, hey, we know this was a hiccup. We apologize about it. Or we understand your frustration as a parent, but how could we join with you to make this better? Because it's just not us. Like you said, they spend a lot of time with us, but they also go home and spend a lot of time there too. So it's difficult. It's difficult no matter where you are.
Yeah.
Well, Demetria, you had a follow-up.
Those questions, okay?
I'm sorry?
Okay.
Thank you, Heather. Good night.
Thank you, Heather.
I wanted to remind you that you had a follow-up. I didn't want you to forget about your follow-up to Heather's comment.
I do. Yes, it's in my notes here. It came to my attention. How prevalent is that? I've seen the little news commercials, join with us and gathering supplies. I was so moved by it. It really caught me off guard. So kids really don't have supplies, so I started a little supply campaign. So in my blue room, Terry, you don't know, but where my computer is and where I do the show from, my whole room is decorated in blue. So this is a blue room. So I started to gather school supplies in my blue room, and I'm going to donate them to a school, and I'll let other people know, hey, I'm getting school supplies together. Is this really prevalent that kids don't have the tools they need, even at the start or even throughout the school year? I just wanted the teachers to be able to have something extra on hand if they ran out through the school year. That was my intent.
I definitely think that's a great idea. Definitely think that's a great idea. And unfortunately, that is the reality for some of our children. They don't have the supplies. They don't have the means to get the correct uniform. Most of our schools, and they don't have the means to get the correct uniform shirt. So unfortunately, in some situations, we do have our children that are in desperate need of additional support. And like what you're doing, I think it's fantastic. And so many organizations that have that passion, like you all have for education, is definitely willing to partner with schools to make sure that in those situations that children, you know, don't feel left out and have the necessary tools they need to start the school day. But it definitely is a reality, and it's a reality I face at BA Sangula as well, kids not being able to have access to the correct school supplies, the correct uniform, parents in some cases, mom, dad may not be around for whatever reason that may be.
Right.
Grandma has to step in and raise children. And she's raising four children. It becomes a hardship, you know, with, you know, a check just once a month, and grandma's trying to do the best that she can. So sometimes in situations, it's a reality. And sometimes situations, you know, grandma's or a family member has to step in and do the job of a parent, and it's definitely a strain on that legal guardian or that family member that decided to take on that awesome task of taking in that child and making sure that child, you know, is safe and loved, and it becomes a financial hardship on that family. So it's definitely a reality, and I think what you're doing, the work that you're doing, is awesome. Yes.
Great. Well, Principal Harris, I don't know you personally, but I mean your personality is really it's awesome. And
it really is.
And like Demetria explained early on, you can hear the passion. And so I just want to give you an opportunity to tell parents, tell the community, what is it that a school may need, you know, because we just touched on it anyway, some supportive and not even the supportive services and things, like what would you need from parents in order for the students to be successful, for you all to be successful, and again, inviting the community in, you know, what's the need so that there will be continual success?
I think the thing that we've, like, the topic that has come up time and time again in this conversation is communication, not just with those things that have gone wrong, but how can we be proactive in making sure that our school is even better for our children. So communication, communicating with parents, and I know sometimes schedules are extremely busy and parents are not able to take off work, but in whatever way that you can, when there is an open house or when there is a meet and greet, or when there is an opportunity for you to come to the school a day off, for you to partner with that school to, it's several things you can do, not just, you know, I think donations are wonderful, but giving up your time is also, hi, can we help out in the cafeteria and do monitoring? I've had wonderful people in this community and Harvey just stop by and say, hey, I really, retired teachers, retired librarians, retired administrators, hey, I really want to mentor a young group of boys. I really just want to pull them out of PE, maybe just once or twice a month, just kind of mentor them and start. There's several things you do, not just financially, but giving up your time or coming to help out with cafeteria duty or helping us raise, I mean, not necessarily, you know, you funding it, but helping us sell things to raise funds so that our kids are provided with the technology they need, or have out awesome opportunities to take trips that it won't be a financial burden on the family's pockets. Just there's so much. All you have to do is call that school and figure out retired teachers can come in and pull out a group of children that are struggling. I might know I have family members that gone on to do other things and they were in education and asked me, hey, I just want to do math interventions with kids. So I'll, you know, like setting up a time and date where they can come pull out a group of fourth graders and fifth graders and just making sure, you know, that they get that fluency, addition, subtraction, division, just anything you can do. It just doesn't have to be, schools would welcome their, I know at BA Saintville, we have our arms are open for support. So, and any support in any form. Yes.
Great.
We are so glad that you joined us tonight. I want to say that you never know who's watching you. You never know when they're watching you. And Tara, I'm saying this specifically to you. You don't know. I mean, we don't cross each other's paths often, do we? But
no.
But I can see this woman of excellence. So you never know when somebody is watching you. You don't know who's watching you, but I'm telling you what I see. And I don't have to see you often to know that about you.
Yes.
Kudos to you.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Thank you. And it's a huge opportunity.
Your life.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for joining us. You have a call.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
It's just time.
Thank you for taking out your
time. No, it was well worth it. No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for taking out the time. And hopefully you can come back, you know, if there's any new, you know, new information that you want to put out to the public to help your students, help your school, please feel free to contact Demetria and let us know. And we would like to check. I know I would like to hear about, you know, how things are going. So hopefully we can check back in with you mid-school season.
Anytime.
To see how things are going. All right.
Anytime. My life is crazy, but I will make time anytime. Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Well, Tanyelle?
That was awesome.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah, I hear a lot of trauma.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And as we close tonight's show, I love the things that I took out of it, building that strong foundation and instilling in kids, not just the kids, but even the educators, a love of learning. I love those two concepts. I think I'm, you know, when it comes to reading and all that, I love hearing her talk about reading and teaching kids to read.
I know you did, yeah.
That's just right up my alley. So I absolutely love this show tonight, and I'm grateful, and I hope that our listening audience had some great takeaways.
I do too, and just quickly, communication. I'm a huge communicator, and I know how important it is to get that communication right. And so, and that's why just the partnership with parents and teachers, I just, you know, encourage parents to develop partnerships with your child's teachers. Don't look at them as
right.
the person that's coming down hard on your child. Develop that partnership. Because they're with your kids the majority of the day. So that's my takeaway, and follow your heart. I mean, she talked to me, too,
yes.
tonight. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Yes. Thank you so much, Principal Tara Everett Harrison, for joining us. Thank you so much, Heather, for calling in and adding your insights and your concerns to the conversation. Everybody, have a good night. Until next
good
time.
Good night.
It's a different world.